Good morning, all.
Morning.
It's good to be here with you all today, and I bring the fraternal greetings from the Hastings Ecclesia to you all. And it's good also to have brothers and sisters from other areas of New Zealand here. The theme of the exhortation this morning is being available. And as Mark has read the Gospel of Mark chapter 3. I wonder how many of you get these kind of messages. I'm sorry, I'm not available right now. If you leave a message, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. With the introduction of cell phones, more and more people having cell phones, we tend to get messages more and more. I don't know whether you're the same as me, but often it's quite frustrating to get a message, especially if you need to talk to someone urgently and you need to get some information across to them. Not available right now. We're often not available for others. More importantly, brothers and sisters, we're often not available for God. As God makes his call to us, how many times does he hear, "I'm sorry, but I'm not available right now"? God requires, you see, our availability, both for him and for our neighbours, all the time. Being available is one of the cornerstones of Christian discipleship. And as we leave this place this morning, having been encouraged and filled up spiritually, and leave this place enthusiastic, passionate about the Word of God, as we enter the mundane routine of life, will we make ourselves available for God and for our fellow disciples? Will we use the encouragement and the refreshing that we have received from the Word of God and the remembrance of our Lord and Saviour to serve the brotherhood and the community at large? You see, Jesus requires our availability, just as he required the availability of his disciples. We read this in Mark chapter 3 and at verse 13. And Jesus goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. And it sounds as easy as we read those words, "and they came unto him." What did that mean? It meant that when Jesus called them, they were available. There were no excuses. There was no hesitation on their part. They made themselves available. And it was an unconditional availability. And Matthew's Gospel tells us that this availability came at a cost. And we know this. Jesus saith unto them in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And the message of the example of the 12 is clear. Here were men that were prepared to give up many things that they had plans for. You can imagine Peter and Andrew had a great business going, it would seem. They had their own boat. They had the prospects maybe of getting another boat. Maybe a good fishing season was coming. And they discussed what they would do and the next vocation that they were planning. But all of this had to be put aside when the call came from Jesus and they made themselves available. And for James and John, it went even further, because the record said in verse 22, and they immediately left their father. You can imagine the excuses we could have put together there. The father was becoming old, he needed his sons to help him in the business. And yet, even in this situation, they made themselves available. They came unto him. A simple little phrase with so much power behind it. But not all of the disciples that Jesus called were available. And we can learn from those who were available and from those who were unavailable. Come with me to Luke chapter 9. And we learn about two disciples who were unavailable for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God is not interested in getting our message books. He has no time for our message books. As soon as possible is not good enough for God. It's about now. It's about being available right now. In verse 59, this chapter, Jesus said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And when we read those words, they seem harsh at first reading. He was a man who wanted to bury his father. It doesn't seem like an unreasonable request to delay discipleship. Jesus uses two examples here. In both examples, he gives probably the best excuses we could think of for why we should not be available. And he discounts them both. And I think, although we can explain away what was being meant here, I think that's the power of the message, that there is nothing in this world that should make us unavailable for his call. Wherever we may be in our lives, if we understand that call, we should be making ourselves available for it. Jesus was warning here, I believe, of an attitude rather than the exact example that was being given, but an attitude that sought for reasons for why a man, woman, would not be willing to follow Jesus. And this man in Luke chapter 9 and at verse 59, I call him the procrastinator. And we can see it as he answers Jesus and said, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You look at that word first. And that's the key word that Luke's bringing to our attention. First. Jesus had said to them in Matthew chapter 6, those words we know so well. Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus had said, if you want to be pleasing to God in all that you do, make sure that he's first in your life. Make sure that the kingdom of God and the goals concerning the kingdom are uttermost in your life. This is the calling of the gospel, the calling to place God first. And this man was not going to be available because he was always going to find something else to do first. And we fall into that trap, don't we? Always finding something else to do first before we will give God our utmost availability. Perhaps we want to get married first. Perhaps we want to have children first. Perhaps we want to finish college first. Perhaps we want to make sure we're established in our career first. Perhaps it is until we get retired and we have more time, and then we will be available. He was a man who had other things to do first. And when all things are considered, when is God come in our list of things that are important to us? How does he fare against our work, our family, our holidays, our entertainment, our TV, our cars, our houses? And when he comes second to any one of this list of things, we become unavailable for him? And that's the message of the first disciple, the procrastinator, the man who wanted more time. And then the next one, straight afterwards in Luke chapter 9, we read this in verse 61. Another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Here's another man, very interesting, a man who wanted to be available. Said, "Lord, let me join you. Let me make myself available." Jesus saw in this man a different type of problem. For this man says, "Let me first go and say goodbye to them who are at home." And it seemed to me that he had a whole bunch of friendships still remaining at home that were important to him. And the difficulty that I believe this man was facing was breaking away from his old way of life. It seems to me that he was suggesting to Jesus, can you see this? That Jesus should give him permission to do this very same thing that Elijah had given Elisha permission to do. You remember when Elijah called Elisha? And Elisha said, "Well, I just need to go and say goodbye to my family. It's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19. And when we go back to 1 Kings 19, we notice something interesting. Verse 19 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And we read, so Elijah departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 oxen, yoke of oxen, before him, and Elisha with the 12th. And Elijah passed by Elisha and cast his mantle upon him. And Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And Elisha returned back from Elijah, took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then Elisha arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So perhaps this disciple speaking to Jesus said, Elisha was able to go and say goodbye to his family, and that's what I want to do. But notice the words of Jesus, verse 62 of Luke chapter 9. Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." What do you think he was saying? Well, I guess there are two understandings of that. One is, once you plough, you can only look forward. You can't look back. Otherwise, you won't do a good job. Maybe he was saying something else in the allusion to the illustration of Elisha. Although Elisha returned to say goodbye to his family, and I think this is the important thing, his intent, his attitude was clear. Why? He put his hand to the plough. He destroyed the instruments of his old way of life. We read it there in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 21. We read that he slew the oxen, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. The old way of life for Elisha, the farmer, it was burnt. It was gone. Like the nets that were given away, there was no way that Elisha could return. This is the message, I believe, Jesus was leaving for the second disciple. If you want to follow me, you've got to put your hand to your old way of life, and you've got to destroy it, and you've got to leave it behind. You can't bring it with you. I call this man the fence-sitter. He leaves a message for many of us in this room, both baptized and unbaptized, who hear the message, the call of the gospel of Jesus, saying, "Are you available?" And perhaps our problem is we can't leave behind the old way of life. You see, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You can't serve Jesus and still be entangled with the affairs of this life. You have to break loose from it. That's the only way you can make yourself available. How many of us find ourselves unavailable for God because we're trying to hold on to our old way of life. We're trying to play the two masters game, and it's a fruitless game because both masters need our exclusive attention. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God in riches. You cannot do it. You cannot play the two masters game. And if we're looking back and pining after our old way of life, we'll not be available when the master calls. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. A perfect example of a fence sitter, someone who wanted to be available for God, wanted to leave the city of Sodom, yet did not want to leave the old way of life behind. Remember Lot's wife. So how available are we? How available have we been? How many of us have been available to support our witness efforts? How many of us were available for those who called out for help? And so the list can go on for the reason why we should be available, or were we leaving messages? You see, the call is not for someone else. It's for you and I. When you hear the call, it's no good saying, well, someone else will do it. Someone else is better qualified. Someone else can do it this time because you've always done it. Jesus is asking you to be available. Do you remember the message he gave to Peter? When Peter said, what of this disciple? Talking of John. Jesus said, don't be concerned of him. Don't worry about what he's doing. Follow thou me. The call is for you. Now is the time. Don't procrastinate. Don't sit on the fence. Now is the time to put your hand to preaching work if the call is for you now. Now is the time for action. So the message is clear. The time for opportunity for all of us is when we receive the call and when we have that energy. That energy. Remember what Solomon said? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That time when we have the ability to serve God, for God never leaves messages. He's always ready for a connection. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, he's never out of range. His service is always available. His rates are free, no matter where you are. And he expects us to be equally available for his service, whether that be worshipping, remembering him as we are today, praying to him, reading his word, preaching his message, or whether it's serving those around him. But there's a little twist to this tale that we would like to end with this morning. There will come a time for every one of us in this room when God will no longer be available, and he will leave a message for those who are unavailable for him. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1 we read this. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You see, the five foolish virgins were not available when the master came. They were unavailable, for they had not made themselves ready. And so it was that the door was shut. When they returned suddenly, the God and Father, who had always been available for them, is unavailable. And they leave a message. "Lord, Lord, open unto us." And they receive the message, "I know you not." What an awful message to receive from the Master. But what if we are available? What if when he returns, we have prepared ourselves, we have made sure that we were available for his worship and for his service? Then we will receive no message, but rather an eternal connection with God. "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The blessing of sharing with Jesus and his disciples, with Paul and Timothy, with David and the faithful. That wonderful kingdom, that vision of hope, that great time of reunion, when families and friends will be reunited, when tears shall be wiped away completely, the moment when all things will come into one and God will be all in all. And such is the hope that we leave with this morning as we leave this place, believing that we will be available when the Lord and Saviour returns to take the kingdom to himself. And so finally now we come to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're brought again to the foot of the cross. Jesus, the man who was always available, the man who said, "I've come to do your will, O God, a body you have prepared for me." And so as we partake of the bread and the wine this morning, I have no doubt in my mind of his presence with us. I've no doubt that where two or three are gathered, he is there in the midst of them. He is available. And he will try to make a connection with each and every person in this room. Will he get a response, or will he get a message? Thank you.